when he didn't have anything else to do. "And have you got a name?" she said. "You're not the third and youngest son of a king, are you? If your name starts Prince, that's a definite clue." The kid said, "I think it's Keith." "You never said you had a name," said Morris.
"No one ever asked before," said the kid.
"Keith is not a promising name start," said Melissa. "It doesn't hint of mystery. It just hints of Keith. Are you sure it's your real name?"
"It's just the one they gave me."
"Ah, that's more like it. A slight hint of mystery," said Melissa, suddenly looking interested. "Just enough to build up suspense. You've stolen a veiled birth, I expect. You probably are the rightful king of some country, but they found someone who looked like you and did a swap. In that case, you'll have a magic sword, only it won't look magic, you see, until it's time for you to manifest your destiny. You've probably found on a doorstep."
"I was, yes," said Keith. "See, I'm always right."
Morris was always on the lookout for what people wanted, and what Melissa wanted, he felt, was a gag. But he'd never heard the stupid-looking kid talk about himself before.
"What were you doing on a doorstep?" he said.
"I don't know. Gurgling, I expect," said Keith.
"You never said," said Morris accusingly.
"Is it important?"
"There was a magic sword or a crown in the basket with you, probably, and you've got a mysterious tattoo or a strange-shaped birthmark, too," said Melissa.
"I don't think so. No one ever mentioned them," said Keith. "There was just me and a blanket and a note."
"A note? But that's important."
"It said, 19 pints and a strawberry yoghurt," said Keith.
"Ah, not helpful then," said Melissa.
"Why 19 pints of milk?" "It was the Guild of Musicians," said Keith. "Quite a large place. I don't know about the strawberry yoghurt."
"Abandoned orphan is good," said Melissa. "After all, a prince can only grow up to be a king, but a mysterious orphan could be anybody. Were you beaten and starved and locked in the cellar?"
"I don't think so," said Keith, giving her a funny look. "Everyone at the guild was very kind. They were mostly nice people. They taught me a lot."
"We've got guilds here," said Melissa. "They teach boys to be carpenters and stonemasons and things like that."
"The guild taught me music," said Keith. "I'm a musician. I'm good at it too. I've been earning my own living since I was 6.
"Aha! Mysterious orphan, strange talent, distressed upbringing, it's all shaping up," said Melissa. "The strawberry yoghurt is probably not important. Would your life have been different if it had been banana-flavoured? Who can say? What kind of music do you play?"
"Kinds? There aren't any kinds, there's just music," said Keith. "There's always music if you listen."
Melissa looked at Morris.
"Is he always like this?" she demanded.
"This is the most I've ever heard him say," said the cat.
"I expect you're very keen to know all about me," said Melissa. "I expect you're just too polite to ask."
"Gosh, yes," said Morris.
"Well, you probably won't be surprised to know that I've got 2 dreadful stepsisters," said Melissa, "and I have to do all the chores."
"Gosh, really?" said Morris,
wondering if there were any more fish heads, and, if there were any more fish heads, whether they were worth all this.
"Well, most of the chores," said Melissa, as if revealing an unfortunate fact. "Some of them, definitely. I have to clean up my own room, you know, and it's extremely untidy."
"Gosh, really?"
"And it's very nearly the smallest bedroom. There's practically no cupboards, and I'm running out of bookshelf space."
"Gosh, really?"
"And people are incredibly cruel to me. You will note that we are here in a kitchen, and I'm the mayor's daughter. Should the daughter of a mayor be expected to wash up at least once a week? I think not."
"Gosh, really?"
"And will you just look at these torn and bedraggled clothes I have to wear?"
Morris looked. He wasn't good on clothes. Fur was enough for him. As far as he could tell, Melissa's dress was pretty much like any other dress. It seemed to be all there. There weren't any holes except where the arms and head poked through.
"Here, just here," said Melissa,
pointing to a place on the hem which to Morris looked no different than the rest of the dress.
"I had to sew that back myself, you know."
"Gosh, Rip!"
Morris stopped. Sardines was abseiling down from a crack in the ancient ceiling. He had a knapsack on his back.
"And on top of this, I'm the one that has to queue for the bread and sausages every day,"
Melissa continued, but Morris was listening even less than he had been before.
It had to be sardines, he thought. Idiot. He always goes ahead of the trap squad. Of all the kitchens in all the town he could turn up in, he's turned